Another act of faith is when we're asked to share the gospel, right? Is that a command, not a suggestion? And yet that's very difficult for us. So we have to step out in faith and say, I'm going to bring it up. I'm just going to bring it up. And I'm going to talk about it. And I might get rejected. I might be ridiculed. It's okay. Because God's got me. Some of the promises of God that we've looked at over the last several weeks. And again, this is really just scratching the surface. But there's a lot of promises that God made to the people in Exodus, the Hebrew people. And what we talked about during our normal classes was, how does that relate to us? And what we found, of course, is that it does relate to us very directly, that the same promises God made to the Hebrews as they were leaving Egypt apply to us today. So in Deuteronomy, it talks about how God said he will never leave or forsake us. And we have that same quote in Hebrews. The Hebrew writer is saying that applies to us too, as Christians. Another one there is that he promised freedom to the Hebrews. They were in slavery, and so they were freed from that bondage to the Egyptians. But for us, the freedom is the freedom from sin. And so we gave some scriptures there, and these are in your handout. So if you want to just take note of these and maybe look at them later, there's a lot of great material there to look at. But the thing, the takeaway for me is that we have freedom from sin because of Jesus' sacrifice. Another one is to prepare us for his service. So he spent a lot of time with Moses. God spent a lot of time with Moses, telling him what was going to happen, preparing him for his role as a leader. And again, we see the same thing for Christians, that you know, Jesus prepared us that we were going to be led by the Holy Spirit going forward. And in John 14, he promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit would come. And of course, now we know that the Holy Spirit has come. And those of us who are Christians have received that Holy Spirit. And so we're prepared to do the work that God has set out for us. The next one is that he provides a path to intimacy or closeness with him. And so again, in Exodus 3, God revealed himself as Yahweh. He had never given that name before. You know, throughout the whole account of Genesis, he had never used that name for himself. So he showed an intimate relationship with Moses by saying, I'm going to tell you my personal name. And for that time in history, that was a huge deal to give someone your personal name. And then likewise, we see that God has given us direct access to him through Jesus. And one of the verses that I really like is out of James 4, 7 through 10, where it says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. And so, you know, it's really up to us to come near because God is already near. We need to go to him to have that intimacy. Next one is to equip us for his service. So God equipped Moses with the staff and said, you're going to use this staff for all these mighty acts that I've got in mind for you. And he actually called it the staff of God because he took the staff that he had been using as a shepherd and said, this is now my staff. I'm giving it back to you so you can do these mighty acts. And so, of course, he's also given us the armor of God that we can use to protect us and to equip us to go out and do his work. The plan is still the plan. That's something I've kind of adopted as one of my sayings, even though I'm kind of stumbling right now. Sorry about that. But the plan is still the plan, right? So God had a plan from the very beginning about what he was going to do. And he revealed part of that plan to Moses ahead of time and said, here's what's going to happen. You know, in Exodus 3 and 4, he gave a very detailed account of what was going to happen. And of course, it happened exactly the way God said it would. So we can be confident that God knows what's going to happen in advance. And then we can also be confident that God always intended Jesus to be our path to salvation. And that is clearly laid out in the gospel. And then to lift up the faithful to him, it said God will always keep his covenant. And he explained the covenant and he fulfilled the covenant. And you can see all of the things that happened in a sequence that God had laid out. And God also had this plan for us to save the faithful. So I'm not going to go through in detail all of these, but you can see how there's this parallel that goes on throughout the account of Exodus to ourselves. And please take the time to read those verses on your own to see how throughout the plagues that God sent, how he was setting things up in motion to say, I'm going to do all these things for you. I'm going to set you apart. You know, some of the plagues were only for the Egyptians. The last six were only for the Egyptians. And God has set us apart too. We're still in the world, excuse me, we're still in the world, but we're set apart. And sometimes that's hard for us to remember, is that, hey, I'm still here, and there's still all this evil. What's going on, God? And God's saying, yeah, that's part of the plan. You know, I've left you here, even though you're set apart, you're still in the world, and you got a job to do. You need to start doing something to counter that evil and bring others to me. So again, so many great promises that God made to us that we can take into account and say, you know, God had a plan all the way back in Exodus, all the way before time began. God had a plan for us, and here's that plan being laid out. There's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a time when people are going to be saved. And then we're going to be led out of captivity. And again, the concept of being led through the Red Sea and how God leads us through the revelation from sin, that is amazing. And it's something that God had in plan from the beginning. He claims us as his own. He claimed the Israelites as his own children, set apart from the rest of the world. And God has claimed us too. And so where they went to Mount Horeb to receive the Ten Commandments, we're going to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're going to be made perfect by Jesus. And so all these parallels to me are just fascinating. I hope they are to you too, because it really reveals to me that God had a plan for us, and he wants us to see his plan, how it goes all the way back to the beginning of history and provides us a clear path to our salvation. So take the time, if you would, this week to read through those verses. So today we're going to take a look at the last promise that we're going to be able to cover, is that God has a plan for us to have a memorial so that we can remember all of his promises. So this kind of takes us full circle. We've seen all the promises that he's fulfilled, and then we're going to talk about how God wants us to remember all of those promises and how they were fulfilled and how it shows that he's in control. So we're going to talk about crossing the Jordan today, entering the promised land, which is kind of the fulfillment of the great mission that he set out the Israelites on, to leave Egypt and to go to the promised land. And then for us, of course, we know that those who obey the gospel are crossing over from death to life. And I love that expression, crossing over from death to life. So in John 5:24, that's what Jesus said. You know, those who believe on me are going to be crossing over from death to life. So that crossing the Jordan is symbolic of that same thing. They're going from the land that they were not a part of to a land that is now their own. It's like going into heaven. So Jesus said, those who believe on me will cross over from death to life. So many wonderful promises. We could, you know, go back and watch the videos if you want to, but you can see how many hours it takes just to dig into these words. And again, we barely scratched the surface. So hopefully that's helpful to you if you haven't been in here during the rest of the quarter, a little bit of a background. So today we're going to pick up the story, and we're skipping way ahead to crossing the Jordan, because I think we got through chapter 12 of Exodus, and then it's like, okay, we got 2 weeks to finish it up. So we're on the accelerated plan. All right, so I'm going to read to you from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. It says, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is coming, is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Wow. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage. Pay attention to that. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a great heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. What a miracle. Isn't that amazing? So God prepared the people before crossing to the Promised Land, and he promised them a miracle to confirm the promises. So if you've got a handout and you want to fill in the blanks, that first word, all the highlighted words are the missing words. So as soon as the men who are carrying the ark stepped into the water of the Jordan, and remember, it's at flood stage, so it's not just like a little stream, you know, that you can kind of tiptoe across and find some rocks and all that kind of stuff. I did that one time. I was camping out in the Great Smokies, and we all had our gear on, and there was a stream that we were crossing, and there's rocks that you can see and you can step on. And I slipped, and boom, right on my back, all my gear got wet. So it might look like it's easy to cross the stream, but it's not always as easy as it appears. So don't do that, or at least don't slip like I did. But, you know, crossing a river is not simple. And sometimes in the life cycle of of a year, you know, the Jordan actually flows pretty slow. There's a way to cross it during those times of the year. But this was during the harvest when it's at flood stage. So it's a mighty river at this point. It's not just wide, but it's also got a current because the water is coming down from the mountains up around Adam. And so again, that water was piled up at Adam, and then the river was dry. And that's amazing too, because just like he did with the Red Sea, not only was the water stopped, they weren't slipping around on the mud or anything like that. It was dry ground. It was like a perfect path for them to walk through. So only God can do that. You know, you can come up with excuses. In fact, in 1917, there was a large boulder that came off of the mountain there in Adam and actually blocked up the Jordan River for several days. I think 21 days before they could clear it. And, you know, the water stopped flowing. But it was still a muddy mess. And again, it would not have worked for that to happen. You know, God had to actually intervene and do a miraculous thing. So this was to allow Israel to draw a cross on dry ground. So this picture, I think, is an interesting perspective, and it's probably not exactly accurate, but it's trying to show that when the priests carrying the ark are stepping into the Jordan, you see that water starting to part. And that's kind of a good illustration, at least in my mind, of what God was saying was going to happen. So God told them to choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and as soon as they set their feet in the water's going to part. Now, it's interesting that he said, choose 12 men, one from each tribe, right after he said, when this happens, the water's going to part. And the only explanation I can think of for why he would say that, why choose these 12 men, is that that would be the witnesses, that they would be able to go back to their tribe, because not everybody's right can be right there, you know, looking at these guys stepping into the water. So they are to witness for that and to be able to go back to their tribes and they say, hey, this really happened. You know, God said this was going to happen, and it happened exactly the way he said it would. And so he's chosen representatives from each tribe, and we're going to see here in just a minute that those 12 men also have another job. By the way, if anybody has a question or comment they want to say, I've got Austin over here with the microphone. He is eager to come and bring that microphone to you, and you can share with us what's on your mind. But I'll keep going. So I'm big on maps. If you've never been in my class before, you probably don't know that, but if you've been in my class, you're like, okay, here goes another map. So this is showing that it piled up in a great heap, and so that black dot you see there is Adam. And so it is located about 16 miles north of where they crossed the Jordan, which is right across from Jericho. And you can see where that is. And the Israelites, were commanded, and we didn't talk about this, we didn't read this section from Joshua 3, but they said they had to stay at least 1,000 yards away from the ark. Did you know that? They couldn't come near the ark. And so, you know, some of these illustrations that we see, that, you know, they've got people all crowded around the ark. No, that would not happen. So, you know, there had to be great distance. And of course, that's because God is holy. And he's saying, you can't come to near to me unless I invite you. And so, you know, there's a large distance that they have to stay away. So the dry path across the Jordan, if you measure from Adam down to the Salt Sea, as it's called, is 20 miles. And so God provided a 20-mile-wide dry section of the Jordan River to cross. That's a lot. And from an engineering perspective, which I can't help, I'm sorry, the hydraulics of that are just incredible. To stop the flow of a river coming downstream is hard enough. But then, you know, once you stop the flow coming in, then there's a back pressure that says, well, the Dead Sea is now going to start flowing back up the river, right? No. God took care of that too. So it's like he put a dam on either side and said, okay, no water. And then he dried up the riverbed as well. And that's incredible. That just does not happen from an engineering point of view. So it's a miracle. And it's a, you know, it's a crazy miracle. But, you know, God's saying, I'm going to provide a dry path for you. And I mentioned it was 1927 there where the river got dammed up by natural means. So, you know, if you look at this map, I like this one because it's kind of a relief map. But you can see there, here's Adam up here, and the Dead Sea is down here, and that's where they were crossing. So you can see, you know, 16 miles this way, 4 miles this way, and they were crossing over. And of course, we know from reading ahead that their first stop was to go up to Gilgal, and then they went down to Jericho and did the marching around, which everybody knows that story. So, you know, they were crossing there, and so it's a 20-mile-wide path. He said, okay, everybody, come on through. And I did some calculations on what it would take to put 2 or 3 million people through a path like that, and I came up with about 1/2 mile wide, which is a lot. You know what 1/2 mile wide is. Can you imagine a group of people going through, and that group of people is 1/2 mile wide, walking through the Jordan? And that's probably a little bit high, but, you know, still not too much of an exaggeration. But he gave them 20 miles. So God is providing in abundance. You know, God says, I'm going to create a huge path for you to walk through. There's going to be no doubt in your mind that I'm doing this. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I hope that's awesome to you as it was to me, that God is doing this thing. And it's one of those things when you're reading through, you can just kind of say, oh, that's cool. You know, the river dried up. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's beyond our understanding. You know, if you're familiar with any river, you know, the Hillsborough River, or, you know, any river around where you grew up, and just imagine one of those rivers just stopping and suddenly becoming dry and everybody just walking across like it's nothing. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen unless God, right? So God is providing for them in a way that is just completely unpredictable by human means. Okay, so they're going to cross the Jordan now. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So again, the emphasis on dry ground. And so if you picture this, and again, this is the best illustration I could find, all the people crossing over, and you can see, you know, here's the ark being depicted here. Incorrect, there's no water. Got to have to correct the artist there. But, you know, it was completely dry ground as they're walking through. And you can see they're staying away from the ark because God had put a restriction on that 1,000 yards. I'm sure they didn't use yards back then. But, all right, Diane's got a question or a comment. But as you're pulling the microphone over there, you know, the respect that they have for the ark because of God's command is something they pay attention to. Yes, ma'am.
In your first picture, it showed them carrying the ark. It wasn't on a cart, and they were instructed to do that also.
Correct.
And I wondered, had they not been carrying it correctly, would the waters have parted?
Ah, good question. Yeah, so it's so important for us to be obedient to God down to the letter. And you know, we know that story of when the ark was being returned to Israel on the cart, and God said, "That's not what I told you. You're not doing it right." And so, you know, bad things happened. But yeah, these artistic representations show it on poles as it's supposed to be. And so, Kathy.
As you recall, when they crossed the Red Sea, it was Moses who raised his staff. So everyone was looking at Moses and not really thinking of God. But here, when they cross here, it's truly they have to think about God and not just Moses.
That's right.
Putting God first.
Yep. That's a great point. Yeah, there was really nobody leading in turn. You know, Joshua was not necessarily leading at that point. And the ark stayed in the middle of the river. So it was not necessarily in front of them as they walk past the ark. They're still going. And so, you know, they were actually led by the tribes of Reuben and Manasseh, who, well, I'll spend 20 minutes if I go down that road, so never mind. It's a fascinating story. I love it. So anyway, we'll stay on target here. And so they're going through the Jordan now on dry ground. So this shows total obedience to God, which is really, you know, something you might take for granted, that God said, do this, and they did it, and you think, that's great. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. Does that always happen? So from the scripture, we see that they had total belief, and they walked through as if it was nothing. It was just like another path that they've been going on for the last 40 years. So what is the analogy for us? What has God asked us to do as an act of faith, as in putting a toe in the water? So God said, put your foot out and step into the Jordan, and the waters are going to part. And the priests who were carrying the ark did exactly what God said, and guess what? The waters parted. And not just a little trail, 20 miles wide. So God said, do this. They did it. They stepped out in faith, and amazing things happened. So what is an analogy for us? You don't have to give me a personal response, but do you have any response? What has God asked us to do that would be an act of faith that we need to pay attention to? Jan?
Well, in the book of Philippians, he said to be anxious in nothing.
Okay. I fail at that.
Me too.
Be anxious in nothing. That's another good one. Anybody else? What was that?
The act of baptism.
The act of baptism is an act of faith, yes. Absolutely.
And to not be fearful because he's always with us.
That's right. Anything else that's an act of faith, Miss Betty?
To love one another.
To love one another, exactly. Sometimes we love someone and they don't return that. But as an act of faith, we need to love and hope that love is returned to us. Another act of faith is when we're asked to share the gospel, right? Is that a command, not a suggestion? And yet that's very difficult for us. So we have to step out in faith and say, I'm going to bring it up. I'm just going to bring it up, and I'm going to talk about it. And I might get rejected. I might be ridiculed. It's okay, because God's got me. So that's a step of faith that we often kind of pull back from, that we need to not pull back from. We need to put our toe in the water. We use that expression a lot, putting our toe in the water. That's where it comes from. Did you know that? There's a lot of expressions that we use every day that come straight out of the Bible because, you know, they're good expressions. They're saying you're going to have to try something before good things can happen. So would you have argued if you were there with all the other Israelites getting ready to cross the Jordan and say, this isn't going to work. Look at that river. It's running wild. We're never going to make it. We should turn back. You think there was anybody that did that? Monty's got his hand up. He knows. I'm not going to say that.
Thanks for the setup, John. I appreciate that.
You should have heard what Jen said.
Oh, my. Well, assuming all these people were just people like us,
yeah,
humans, and they'd seen so much, they'd seen a whole generation die in the wilderness. Now, that in and of itself would cause you to pause, I think. They'd wandered around, didn't know where they were going, probably thought, Moses, are you sure that this is the way we're supposed to go? Seems like we've been through here before. And you know how women are when their husband's trying to find the right way, and they tell them, let's stop at the service station and get directions. Mm-hmm. And the husband says, look, I know how to get there.
Now we're going, yeah.
I think there could have been some people questioning Moses about, are you sure about this?
Yeah.
And then they get to the Red Sea. You know, they get to the river, Jordan. And again, I would say, if I were there, you know, are you sure about this?
Yeah.
And as they see the waters part, is it going to hold? Will I be able to get through? I mean, there's all kinds of human reactions like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said it's going to work. God told me. So here's a test of faith.
Yeah.
We're going to make it. All of us. We're going to make it across. And this is just the beginning of how God is going to show us what he has in mind as we come into the promised land.
Amen. All right. So here's a question for you. What could we do as a church? What could we accomplish if we completely obeyed and followed Jesus' commands? That's something for you to ponder. And if you want to make a comment, I'd be happy for you to do so. But let that sink in for just a minute. You know, wonder, you know, just imagine God saying, all right, church, this year, I want you to do everything I told you to do. And you don't need to question it, because you've seen all the evidence that when I tell you to do something, it works out. It always works out. Exactly like I said it was going to work out. It never fails. You will not fail this year when you try to do what I tell you to do. The results will be there. What do you think would happen if we really believe that? Got a hand up? Oh, Ray's got his hand up. Okay. Well, they can't hear you online, so it, yeah.
Okay. Here we go. We could save many souls and bring them to the body of Christ.
Amen.
That is our message, I believe.
Amen. That's right. Many people would be saved. Was there a hand over here? Okay.
Another hand.
Maybe stretch it. Okay. So, again, you don't have to speak up if you don't want to, but I really want you to let that sink in, and not just sink in, but challenge yourself to say, what could we accomplish if we believed like the Israelites believed and said, okay, we're doing this. Let's go.
The world around us would see that we belong to him.
Absolutely. And when people see that we belong to him, they're going to want to know more about it. They're going to want to be a part of it. And that's what we want. We want these, you know, this building to be bursting at the seams, because people are trying to find out, who is this Jesus that is making such a difference in your life? We want to know. We want to find out more about that. And so hopefully they come and learn about Jesus. Come to us, learn about Jesus, because we're not Jesus. We're far from perfection. But we're trying to follow. And that's the same thing the disciples were told to do. Follow me and let them come to me. All right, so let's get to the rest of the message here. So when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones among you mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests had carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. So we see there's this monument that they built on the other side of the Jordan. They had crossed over, they carried these rocks over with them, and they placed them into a heap as a monument to God. And so God has used monuments throughout the history of the historical Bible to remind people that I am God. And so he told them to build altars, he told them to build monuments, to build pillars. And so I've listed a few of the people who did that as God had commanded them to do. And they were to look at those objects and say, God did something here. I set up this monument here to remind us that God did something amazing at this particular location. And so for us, we see that there's monuments even now. And this particular one is talking about how they made a monument to remind them that God took them across the Jordan, that God performed a miracle for them, that God fulfilled his promise by delivering them into the promised land, just as he had promised hundreds of years before, and created a miracle for them to be able to get there. And so that is their monument. What is our monument? That picture might give you a little bit of a hint. But we have something that we're supposed to do, and that's the Lord's Supper. So God instituted the Lord's Supper as our memorial to remember how God provided for us. Look at all the things that God provided for us. Forgiveness, salvation, the Holy Spirit, a home in the kingdom of God. And to remind us that a price was paid for that. You know, our souls were bought with a price. That phraseology is used in the New Testament. You were bought. You were purchased by Jesus' blood. You belong to him now. You don't belong to yourself anymore. And so this is a memorial that we do, and we're going to do it here in a little bit, to remind us what God has done. Just as he did with the rocks, with the pillars, with the altars, it's a reminder to say, this is what God has done for you. And we do it every week because we're not good at remembering. So we need to have those memorials on a frequent basis to make sure that we are remembering how we were bought with a price. So, tomorrow is a new year. So what memorials or remembrances do you or your family have to help you stay focused on God's promises in 2024? And this is the part where you speak. What are you doing next year to remind you that you have a role, that you have a job to fulfill, that you need to be obedient, that you need to stay focused? Don't be bashful. Otherwise, we'll be done early. Anita, my wife is going to bail me out here.
This is kind of a small one. But before every meal, we do pray together and thank God for the food. And it's just a reminder that he provides everything that we need and that we're reliant on him.
It's a good one.
We need to go to the scriptures every day.
Okay. And then your wife's got the comment too.
We need to go out in the world and continue shining our light for him.
Absolutely.
Speaking to others, whether they listen or not, but give blessings as we go along. You never know when you can touch somebody's life and give them a blessing and it will wake them up.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for that. All right, these are all good ideas.
Be involved. Look for opportunities to spend time with your brothers and sisters. My brother Stacy was here helping move tables for, I think it was the ladies' day or the setting up for the Christmas party. And I said, your doctor's not approved of this. And he smiled and said, probably not. But he was here to help out.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be just time. It's all it takes to mm-hmm. spend time with your brother or sister, get to know them. Our brother Austin here is new in town. And when you ask what we could do in this new year is we could welcome a new preacher amongst our midst and watch him grow and watch us grow in that process.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of us know Austin well, but I hope at the end of this year, a lot of us can't say that, and he can't say that either. He doesn't know us.
Yeah.
That's our obligation. That's our duty. Our responsibility is to get to know our brother and sister and encouraging them, because we all need encouragement. Mm-hmm. If we don't know them, we don't know their struggles, and we don't know their accomplishments either. We have a lot of accomplished people in our midst, a lot of great people in our midst, and we need to encourage them to continue to do that.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Brent. Mr. Shackelford is here.
I think it's important also that we recall that we put your toe in the water. It's like, once again, one of those cautions of don't be complacent. Take a step.
Absolutely.
And of the dry ground that they walked across, let's find a way to be positive in what we're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Ron.
Back to the crossing of the Jordan, I think there were a good number of the people, they were divided by an age group that didn't make it to the Promised Land, but there were those that did and were there the first time that they failed to do God's will. And they had all marched through the Red Sea, you know, under God's protection. So there was a lot of them that should and did probably remember that. But I think that was one of the motivations for being more successful this time, seeing or remembering that God did keep his promise and save them from the Egyptians.
Yeah. Yeah, and so God had made them, had said, tell your children about this. And here in this situation, he also said, tell your children, you know, what are these stones about? So that they can remember and they can pass it on from generation to generation, because, you know, they didn't have Bibles. They didn't have, you know, ability to refer to something written. And so it had to be word of mouth. And so it was very important that they pass it down to their children. Yes, Kathy.
To piggyback off of what Brent Bird was saying, I'd like to say that with Jesus, he was making disciples.
Yes.
So he was with them every day for 3 years. If we as a church are close together and meditating and understanding what we are supposed to do with fellow Christians on yes. a weekly basis, or even sometimes even a daily basis, it will make us all stronger as a group. And I love the fact that the men are now having Bible studies just like the ladies are.
Yeah, we were kind of slow on the uptake, but we got there. But thank you. Yes, I think you're right. I mean, that's a great advertisement for, you know, be here. When the church is assembled, be here. There's men's groups, there's ladies' groups, there's Wednesday night. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to be together, and that strengthens us for the purpose that we have to go out into the world. Richard?
Sometimes it just feels almost impossible to keep ourselves faithful. It just you just feel like there's just no way I can do what God wants me to
yeah.
do. In the story today, there's a lot of analogies in all these lessons, and the analogy of the Jordan River. The river represents the fact that it was impossible for the Israelites to get into the Promised Land because of that river.
Right.
That river represents the fact that it's impossible for us by ourselves to do God's will, to do what He wants us to do. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But God, we can't overcome the barriers. We can't build a bridge. We can't build a dam. We can't divert the river.
Yeah.
It's impossible for us to overcome our sin. But God can.
Yeah.
And the memorial that you pointed out, the Lord's Supper, is a reminder that God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis that said, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He's talking about Christ.
Yeah.
The Lord's Supper is a reminder that God removes all the barriers that makes it possible for us to enter the promised land, to be with him in heaven.
Amen. Yeah, I failed to mention that earlier, but yeah, that's one of those things that when we look at our own lives and we look at the sin that we commit, it can appear as a raging river. I can't overcome this sin. I can't get there. And God says, I got it. I can take all that away. Just like he took all the water away, he can take all our sin away if we let him. So yeah, we got to get over that barrier in our own minds. We know it's real. We know God has done that. But sometimes we don't really take that in and say, okay, my sins are taken away from me. It's a good analogy. Thank you, Richard. Anybody else? Anything you've got planned new for this year? I'm not asking you to make a resolution, but is there anything that helps you to become more focused on Christ every day? You may have something you've been doing for years. Some people have signs up in their house, or they have symbols up in their house. My next door neighbor has a Buddha in front of his house, which I think, well, what about Christians? Why don't we have something out in front of our house that says this house has Christians in it? It's not a crazy idea. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, then we'll quickly go to the end of the story. So then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. Another miracle. 1 minute it's dry ground, the next minute the river's running at flood stage just like before, like nothing happened. But something happened. God made it happen. So, I don't know if you're like me, but you know, sometimes you look back on something in your life and you kind of look back and say, wow, God just led me through a raging river. I didn't even realize it at the time, but that was God. And maybe you've had that same experience. And so when something like that happens, I mean, it could be something like, I was absolutely going to have a car accident right there. And then something happened and I got saved. I didn't have a car accident. And maybe you've had an accident in your workshop or something like that, or avoided something. It was a near miss. And you think, well, that was lucky. No. I don't think luck had anything to do with it. You know, God was leading me, was protecting me, was guiding me, whatever it might be. And you kind of look back on that and say, wow, I think God just saved me. Have you ever had that experience? I see a lot of heads nodding. Anybody want to say anything about that? Bob's got his hand up back here. This will be our last comments because we're right at our time.
In 2004, Judy and I learned that my health had actually went south. So we decided to sell our property. And the things that happened over a period of probably a year were absolutely phenomenal. And to this day, her and I usually privately say, God was with us every step of the way.
Amen.
And it was absolutely incredible.
Fantastic. Praise God. Well, thank you for your participation today. I'm sorry we're out of time now, but as you begin this new year, definitely focus on what we can do to be more obedient, to be more challenging, to be more faithful, and to try to do what God told us to do 100%. I know it's not easy, but that's what God calls us to do, and God is going to make it happen. So let's take that as a challenge, and let's really make it happen this next year. Thank you so much for your attention. Y'all have a good week.